What up, people? It's your boy Justin Ramos with a brand new episode of Just a Kid from Brooklyn. This is the WrestleMania. WrestleMania! Okay, this is the WrestleMania week, WrestleMania weekend, which we just finished, okay? Last night was amazing, night two, or as they were calling it, WrestleMania Sunday, as Titus O'Neil and Hulk Hogan, the other host of WrestleMania 37, was awesome, but I have to give it to night one. WrestleMania Saturday, night one, was amazing. Let me tell you how the week began. The week began with Monday Night Raw, which was a bore fest. I tried to watch it. I only got through an hour, and I stopped. I was more excited about the Hall of Fame because of last year. They were able to combine class of 2020 and the class of 2021 and put them on one special, which was about a 3-hour show, but it was awesome. Excuse me, a little burp here on the podcast. I truly apologize. I truly do. The class of 2021 consisted of Rich Herring, who is a longtime employee of the WWE. He has 50 years behind the scenes. He got the Warrior Award for 2021. It might be out of order, but listen, they're all in the Hall of Fame. The Bella Twins went in. The NWO, JBL, Davey Boy Smith, the British Bulldog went in to the Hall of Fame. Rob Van Dam, the other Warrior Award recipient, was, you know, well-deserved. Titus O'Neil, Eric Bischoff went into the Hall of Fame. Will Shatner, a.k.a. Captain Kirk, Star Trek baby, you know, live long and prosper. Captain Kirk himself is in the celebrity wing of the Hall of Fame. The Prince of fucking Darkness, Ozzy motherfucking Osbourne, is in the WWE Hall of Fame. Kane is in the WWE Hall of Fame. If I didn't say the Bella Twins are in the WWE Hall of Fame. Molly Holly is in the Hall of Fame. It just was a good year, man. I mean, when you look at it, the NWO, right? All four original members, Scott Hall, Kevin Nash, and X-Pac, and Hollywood Hulk Hogan, aka the Immortal Hulk Hogan, are now two-time Hall of Famers for WWE Hall of Fame. That's awesome, right? That is awesome. Oh, I can't forget my man Jushin Thunder Liger. Legend, okay? Legend. 50 years in the fucking business. Legend. Has worked everywhere around the world, mostly in Japan, but has worked for WCW in the past, and most recently WWE, you know, even though it's for NXT, it's still owned by WWE. So yes, he has worked at every major network around the world, every major promotion around the world. So we can't take away that brother deserves everything that he got. Jushin Thunder Liger is the fucking man, okay? The man. Do you understand? That nigga is the man. Did I curse on here? Yes, I did. It's okay. It's my show. And then, you know, we followed that up, right? We followed that up with Wednesday night, right? AEW was on point, right? They're not WWE. They're all Elite Wrestling, but they brought the fucking heat because they had no choice but to bring the heat because it's WrestleMania week. When WWE eats, the whole industry eats, okay? There were MLW events. You know, Joey Janela had his event in Florida. Leo Rush had a series of events starting from freaking last week, Monday, all the way through yesterday. You know what I'm saying? Faye Jackson had her events, right? You know, so AEW, they did their thing because Stand and Deliver by NXT was two nights on normal television and on Peacock, which is the exclusive home in the United States for the WWE Network, right? The WWE Network is shut down in America for 4 years. It can be seen around the world, but here in America, it's tied down to NBC's Peacock app, right? So we watched AEW and we saw the Bullet Club officially get back together, right? The elite version of the Bullet Club. So that means that Kenny Omega and the Bucks, the Young Bucks, are back together along with Carl and and Doc Gallows. I was about to call him by his WWE name, Luke Gallows, or Festus, if you will, right? We saw NXT TakeOver, you know, deliver two nights of, you know, beautiful broadcast television. Usually, NXT TakeOver takes place on a Friday or a Saturday before WrestleMania, but this year they did things a little differently. And I mean, NXT TakeOver Stand and Deliver was awesome. Night one was amazing. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was just the matchups, man. The matchups. Like, what? Crazy, man. Crazy. I'm over here trying to pull them up for you. Night one was, the main event was Io Shirai versus Raquel Gonzalez for the strap, right? For the NXT women's title, where, you know, Raquel Gonzalez came out on top. Match was awesome. I love Io Shirai. I hope she gets called up to Raw, SmackDown, you know, or if she chooses to leave the company. Listen, Jacksonville is looking for people like you. If you go on All Elite, yo, I'm here for it. If you go back to Japan, I'm here for it. We also saw Walter versus Tommaso Ciampa. Love that match. Walter was, you know, he defended his UK title. He retained, right? That match was awesome. We also saw the tag team title match in which MSK came out on top, right? So it was MSK versus the Grizzled Young Veterans and Little Gato del Fantasma, right? And we saw MSK, a new team, come out on top in that match. That match was awesome, off the charts. There was the Gauntlet Eliminator match, which determined who would face Johnny Gargano the next night for the North American title, right? On the second night, which we'll get to, and that was Isaiah Swerve Scott versus Leon Ruff versus Bronson Reed versus Cameron Grimes versus Dexter Lumis, one of my favorites, and versus La Knight, which is Eric Young. You know him from Impact and NWA. What was it? Yeah, that was his catchphrase. Yeah. And that match was awesome. I actually wanted Isaiah Swerve Scott or Bronson Reed to win that. Or if, you know, LA Knight won it, you know, La Knight or whatever they're calling him, aka, forgot his damn Impact name, Eli Drake, if he would have won. But, you know, he just got there. So, you know, it would have been like a dead giveaway if he did win. He just got back into WWE. And the opener was Pete Dunne versus my main man, the Time Splitter Kushida. That match was phenomenal. I didn't mind that Pete Dunne won. I didn't say who won the night one of the NXT gauntlet for the North American title. It was actually Bronson Reed. So he went on tonight to face for the the NXT North American title. I was about to say US title, but it's similar, right? Anyway, but the opener was Pete Dunne versus Kushida, and that match was fire. Kushida, the better pronunciation of his name. Kushida, I've been watching since I saw my very first Wrestle Kingdom. I think that was Wrestle Kingdom 13. I don't remember, but I've been watching him for years, basically. I've been watching him for almost 6-7 years now, right? And when he came to WWE, I was nervous because I saw what they did to Nakamura. Nakamura is still a top guy, but he never got the push that he should have gotten. So I hope WWE doesn't fuck up with Kushida. But Pete Dunne, you know, came out on top in that match, and it was awesome. I thought he did a great job. It's hard to handle a guy like Kushida because Kushida is just nice. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's just the truth, man. Hands down, he's the fucking truth. Okay? On night two of Stand and Deliver NXT TakeOver, we saw Shotzi Blackheart and Ember Moon face Candice LeRae and Indy Hartwell. And that match was awesome because Ember Moon was in it. You know, she's wifey. She is wifey. That match was fire. I thought it was excellent from start to finish. It held my attention. I just thought it was an overall great match. I was trying to figure out who won it because I forgot. Jeez. I really can't find it. Yeah. They retain. Yeah. So Shotzi Blackheart, who's another boo-thang of mine, they retain their titles in their match against Candice LeRae and Indy Hartwell. That match was awesome. Then we saw the Santos Escobar, aka Hijo del Fantasma, which means the son of Fantasma. If you know who Fantasma is, he's a legendary Mexican luchador from AAA, and he did wrestle all over the world. I grew up on his work back in the early 90s to the late 2000s. Not sure if he's still wrestling, but his son is in WWE. He faced off against Jordan Devlin in a undisputed NXT Cruiserweight title match because, yes, there was a situation where Jordan Devlin was the NXT champion, but the pandemic hit. He had to go back to London, where he's from, to the UK, right? He was still champion. He was champion on the NXT UK show, whereas in the US, they did a vacated version for America, and Santos Escobar, aka El Hijo del Fantasma, was the champion. So they faced off in a ladder match. Very Razor Ramon, Shawn Michaels-esque from the 90s, where they had the two Intercontinental Champions, and they faced off at, you know, a special event. I believe it was WrestleMania, where they faced off, and if it wasn't WrestleMania, it was SummerSlam. It was one of the two, but, you know, either way, they faced off for the undisputed Intercontinental title. So this was a tribute to Shawn Michaels and Razor Ramon from back in the early 90s. And this ladder match pretty much stole the show until we get to the main event. We'll get to that in a moment. But after this ladder match, we saw Finn Balor, the leader, the founder, the creator of the name Bullet Club, the man who started saying too sweet in Japan, okay, when he was there. Prince Devitt, aka Finn Balor, was the champion until he lost to Killer Kross, aka Karrion Kross in the WWE, who was the champion before Finn Balor came back to NXT from the main roster on Raw because of an injury, and he won his title back. And that match was phenomenal. It was excellent from start to finish. It was a lot of high flying, a lot of power moves from Killian Kross. And, you know, the high flying was on Prince Devitt, aka Finn Balor's end. But that match was dope from start to finish. I enjoyed it. We also had in the main event the show stealer of the night. I personally think, until I watched night one of WrestleMania and their main event, I thought that this stole the show for the week so far. And that was Kyle O'Reilly versus another Bullet Club alumni and leader of the now disbanded Undisputed Era, Mr. Adam Cole, baby! Anyway, that match was an unsanctioned, no holds bar, anything goes, okay? I think falls counted anywhere in the building, and that shit was just a raw, hardcore match. It reminded me of when my good friend Kevin Mason and I went to Final Battle in, what was it, 2016 or 2017 here in New York City, where ROH does Final Battle at the end of the year in December. And we saw them have a drag out match for the ROH world title where Kyle O'Reilly came out on top. And it just was a dope match. And he actually came out on top again here in WWE for NXT on TakeOver. Okay, Stand and Deliver Night 2. And that match just was just awesome. Awesome match across the board. The next night was, SmackDown, because night two of Stand and Deliver NXT TakeOver was on a Thursday. SmackDown was, you know, business as usual, just a go-home show where they, promote the show. They promoting WrestleMania, right? They're promoting it for both Raw and SmackDown. And, of course, I would say NXT because a lot of NXT stars have been called up to SmackDown or Raw, and they were a part of the show, right? So, you know, we saw they actually did the SmackDown men's titles did their defense. Bobby Roode and Dolph Ziggler did their defense on SmackDown as a WrestleMania match, right? Who cares who their opponents are? They won. The battle royal for the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal is usually done on the pre-show or in the middle of the show for WrestleMania itself, but they decided to do it on SmackDown for the fans, you know, for free on Fox, and that was cool. You know, we got to see Jey Uso win that. And yeah, that was pretty much SmackDown. It's more of a promo show. Yes, there were matches, but it's more of a promotional show for WrestleMania, right? So we come to Saturday. We come to night one of WrestleMania, right? And this night is important, you know, right? Because of the main event, which we're going to get to, right? But we had some really good opening matches, right? It opened with the WWE title match, right? We saw Drew McIntyre, the former two-time WWE world champ, take on the new champ, Bobby the Almighty Lashley, right? And that match was awesome. The moment Drew McIntyre walked out, saw that crowd. Remember, WWE hasn't seen their audience, their WWE universe, if you will, for a year. So when Drew walked out, I thought he was going to cry. Okay? And then he took a second, he let it marinate, and he was on. And I text my friends, and they could tell you this. I was like, this show's going to be fire. If you look at Drew McIntyre's face, you know that this show was going to be awesome. They took that first match, and it made it feel like it was the end of the show. Okay? It was awesome. There were moments where I thought while they were fighting, there were moments where I thought that Drew was going to get his belt back for a third time and get another title reign. And to my surprise, Bobby Lashley, like I wanted, one came out on top, you know, put him in that full Nelson, which he calls the Hurt Locker, won the match. The match was awesome from start to finish. I wasn't bored with it. Then we saw the women's tag team turmoil to determine who would face the tag champions on the next night, which is, you know, Shayna Baszler and Nia Jax are the tag women's tag champions. So we saw, now it's basically like a gauntlet, right? They call the tag team turmoil, but it was a gauntlet. One team gets eliminated, the next team comes out, so on, to the last team standing, right? So we saw Naomi and Lana versus Mandy Rose and Dana Brooke versus the Riot Squad versus Natalya and Tamina versus Carmella and Billy Kay. It's a lot of names, right? That match was dope. I was hoping Naomi and Lana got further, but they got eliminated first. And then the Riot Squad seemed like they were going to win because they eliminated a couple teams. But ultimately, it was a good showcase of what the women in wrestling can do. And I thought it was a great way to have majority of the main roster women on television, you know, two nights in a row in multiple matches, singles and tag matches. So, ultimately, Tamina and Natalya came out on top. We also saw, Braun Strowman in a cage match against Shane O'Mac. And I'm doing it out of order, but that's fine. If you want to watch the show, watch the show. That match was fire. There was some interference by Elias and the dude from the Fallen Sons. I can't remember his name right now. I think it's Matt something. But anyway, there was some interference, and I saw something that I never saw before. Braun Strowman fucking ripped off the side panel of the steel cage to grab Shane McMahon and bring him back in the ring. What? And he threw him off the top of the cage onto the mat before he pinned him after doing his running power slam. What? Jesus Christ. That match was phenomenal. Before the main event, there were two show stealers. But before we get to that, I will say that the New Day versus Amos and AJ Styles for the Raw Tag Team titles was awesome. Because we finally, you know, I personally, I know it's happened before, but
I've never seen it on WrestleMania where we had that one-on-one face-off between Kofi Kingston and fucking AJ Styles. Okay, AJ Styles is another, you know, former Fortune member, right? Former Main Event Mafia member and former leader of the Bullet Club.
Bullet Club.
Anyway, you're going to hear that name a lot because the Bullet Club rules the world since 2013. They are in every company, whether they are current, former, or future members. The Bullet Club is everywhere. You understand me? Anyway, we saw Omos in his first match. That is a huge black man. Salute to you, King. You are a big bastard. I am afraid of you, sir. I don't know how tall this motherfucker is. He must be 8 feet nothing. 8 feet something, I mean, because he's huge. So we saw him in his debut match at WrestleMania, which is a huge nod for him. So salute to you. Congratulations to you and AJ winning, you know, the Raw Tag titles. I think AJ, you know, AJ's a Grand Slam champion now. WWE title, Intercontinental US, and now the tag titles, right? So he's the man. I mean, he's been a champion and Grand Slam pretty much everywhere he's gone. You know, he was a Grand Slam in Impact. He's now a Grand Slam in, like, he's a Hall of Famer, first ballot, hands down. And before I get to one of the show stealers, I will say that Cesaro versus fucking Seth Rollins, or as the real fans know, Claudio versus Tyler Black, okay? Because these brothers have worked all over the world before they worked all over the world again in WWE, okay? ROH, you name it, they've been there, right? On the indies, whatever you want to call it. Independence, minor leagues, it doesn't matter. These brothers have worked with each other for years. And that match was phenomenal, okay? From start to finish, we saw the Cesaro swing. We saw it 23 times. We saw a couple of moments where we thought Seth was going to win. He hit him with the pedigree. Cesaro did his UFO, which is where he freaking placed Seth Rollins on his head and spun him around without holding him. What? Do you know how strong this motherfucker is? And we saw, you know, after the 23 rotation, Cesaro swing, he hit him with the neutralizer, wins, gets his first fucking win at WrestleMania ever in his career in WWE. Well deserved. Long overdue. I hope he gets a fucking title run. And I'm talking world title. He's had singles titles, but he's never had that world title. He deserves it. Now, on to the other show stealer before we get to the fucking main event of night one. We have Bad Fucking Bunny. Bad Bunny Bebe. Mr. Jambea. Allah. I don't know what the fuck he's saying. You know, Mr. Booker T. You know, that guy, right? Hit song, by the way. Love it. Anyway, and we had his fellow Puerto Rican, Damian Priest, also known as Punisher Martinez to the real wrestling fans, okay? Your boy's from New York. Just saying. Yo soy boricua tú. Anyway, two Puerto Ricans versus John and The Miz, right? John Morrison and The Miz. Miz and Morrison. Whatever the tag team is known. Oh, Johnny Drip Drip. That's what he's going by now. Hilarious. We saw a match that no one thought was going to be possible. The way it was, you know, presented to us was like, this is just another celebrity, musician, whatever you want to call, right? A celeb coming into the world of wrestling and it's going to suck. This motherfucker, Bad Bunny, shocked the whole world, okay? He's high flying off the fucking top rope. He's doing fucking hurricanranas like nothing, okay? He's doing stinger splashes like nothing. And then he does a fucking Canadian Destroyer and it stumped Michael Cole and Booker T. Booker T was the only one to respond, and when he did, he said, I think we'll call it a Bunny Destroyer instead of saying Canadian Destroyer, because that motherfucker trained. He shocked the fuck out of us. They won this match, but that match was good from start to finish. I think he worked 20 minutes in the beginning of the match, and freaking Damian Priest only worked like 5. That's how much he stole the show. So salute to you, Bad Bunny. He did so good that Randy Orton gave him props on the bump yesterday morning, Sunday, right before night 2. And let me tell you something. If Randy Orton gives you props, that motherfucker don't give nobody props. So salute to you, Bad Bunny. I hope to see you at SummerSlam, because I know they're working with your ass again before you go on tour next year. And yes, I'll be on your tour. I'll be right there watching you going, Bad Bunny, baby, Puerto Rico. Anyway, the main event, most historical main event in the history of all wrestling. Sasha fucking Banks, the boss, the SmackDown Women's World Champion, versus Bianca, the EST of WWE Bel Air. The fastest, the strongest, the prettiest, the flyest, and the smartest, right? That's her gimmick. That's what she says. She also got a master's degree, so she probably is the smartest. The EST for the world title in the main event. First time it's ever been done with two black women are facing off against each other. Trust me and believe me, I wanted them to insert Naomi in that match some way, somehow, because she deserved to be there. Yes, she had her moment at WrestleMania where she came in Orlando, her hometown, as the SmackDown Women's Champ and walked out, but it still doesn't mean as much as this match would have meant if she was in it, because it would have been every shade of black, okay, in one fucking match. Vince, holla at me. I'll write the shit. You understand? But anyway, Sasha Banks came out there and they delivered. Okay? From the time they left the curtain, from the time they stood in the ring and listened to those fans and they both had tears in their eyes and then snapped out of it and had a great 20 to 25 minute match. I don't know how long it was, but it felt like 25 minutes to me. They embarrassed the first ever all-women's main event between three white women, Ronda Rousey, Becky Lynch, and Charlotte motherfucking Flair, daughter of one of the greatest of all time, Ric Flair. And they embarrassed them. They made them look like they didn't do shit. Okay? Two women, okay? One 5 years in the business, Bianca Belair, who came out on top, against one of, against the best wrestler in the world, male or female, Sasha Banks. And you can tell anybody I said it. Okay, she is the best wrestler in the fucking world. Period. Sasha motherfucking Banks, aka Mercedes Renato, the fucking cousin of Snoop Dogg, Gaz, Ray J, and Brandy. Okay, the best wrestler in the world. Okay, and I thought that it was gonna be a situation where Sasha was gonna carry that match. No, they held their own. Sasha did her. Her high-flying moves, she was off the top rope. Bianca did it, went off the top rope too. And she used her strength. And that match was fucking amazing. I watched it twice, okay? I watched both nights of WrestleMania twice because that's how good they were. But night one, night two couldn't light a candle to their ass because they tore that the roof off that motherfucker, all right? So salute to you two queens, Bianca Belair, the new SmackDown Women's Champ. You dig? Okay, and Sasha, the six-time world champion, okay, and Grand Slam, because she's held every title, all right? If they wanted to bring her back down to NXT to win the women's tag titles down there, she'll win those two, because she's a Grand Slam. That match was fucking phenomenal, okay? And then we go on to night two, WrestleMania Sunday, right, where we seen some fire-ass matches, and they had a lot to live up to, because night one was so fucking phenomenal, so fucking awesome, that they had no choice but to turn it up a notch. You understand me? Okay, so we saw the women's tag team champions Shayna Baszler and Nia Jax take on Natalya and Tamina, right? Match was awesome. We got to see Anoa'i versus Anoa'i, right? And you know, Tamina Snuki versus her cousin Snuka, Tamina Snuka, daughter of the legendary super, super fly Jimmy Snuka, right? Versus Nia fucking Jax, okay? Maya Villas and Anoa'i's, the Fatu family, that whole Samoan dynasty tribe, because that's what they are. From Peter Maya Villa to The Rock to Nia and motherfucking the twins, the Usos, okay? Umaga, huh? David Tua, the professional boxer, huh? I could go on for days. The Usos, fucking, who else? Who am I forgetting? Roman Reigns, okay? We saw the Samoan Dynasty versus each other. Yes, it was dope that Natalya was in there. Natalya's a legend. I can't wait for her to get into the Hall of Fame. Legend. Heart Foundation. Heart Dynasty. okay, training Stu's dungeon, her great, her grandfather, you feel me? And Shayna Baszler's a legend in her own right, and that match was awesome. They retained their titles, Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler. She won by her choke out. You know, I love that headlock. She just put motherfuckers to sleep. Anyway, we saw, also on that night, we saw, actually, the opener for that night, it doesn't matter if it's out of order. There's so many matches. It's like 14 altogether. Crazy. Like, I need to sleep for the whole week. You understand? Wrestling just took over my life last week. Starting last fucking Sunday because I was watching New Japan Genesis, which was awesome. Shout out to Will Ospreay for being a double champ. He is the new IWGP heavyweight champ. Anyway, and he has the British title. Anyway. he's the British heavyweight champ. Anyway, so someone's texting me. I'll get back to you, whoever you are. Hope you're okay. We saw the opening match too. It was the return of the Fiend Bray Wyatt versus Randy fucking Orton. Randy Orton had a moment just like Drew McIntyre did on night one. When he saw that crowd, he took a second and I was like, Randy's gonna cry. He didn't cry. But he was like, whoa, because, you know, it's like you're the first time seeing your fans and they just giving you that energy. That match was cool. I wasn't, you know, I didn't like the finish. I did like the match. I didn't agree with the buildup of Bray Wyatt coming back after being set on fire months before WrestleMania. He comes back with this new costume and it's fucking fire. I love that leather vest jacket, whatever it was. I like the new design on the Fiend's mask. I thought it was awesome. But I didn't agree with how they basically squashed. It wasn't a squash, but it was just a bullshit ending. Yes, it ended in an RKO out of nowhere, which is the point. So maybe I will rethink my feelings on it, but I just think Bray deserves better. But it was a good match. Congrats to both guys. We also saw Riddle, Matt Riddle. Vince and these name changes, right? Wants to be the creative everything. I created Riddle, but his name is Matt Riddle, dick. Anyway, love you, Vince. Thank you for showing up and saying, welcome to WrestleMania. Anyway, that was a quick match, but it was good. I think somebody went over on time. Sheamus is the new United States champ. You know, it was quick. Nothing really much to talk about with that match. It was just bing, bang, boom, white noise. Bro, you know, bro kick, whatever. Done. New champ. Salute to you. We also saw, you know, a return match. You know, this rivalry's been going on since Ring of Honor and all around the world. Sami Zayn versus, or El Generico, if you really know wrestling, versus Kevin Steen, aka Kevin Owens, KO in the WWE, Kevin Owens, right? Tribute to Owen Hart. If you know your history, that match was awesome. Logan Paul was in the mix there, and that was cool. You know, I don't really like Logan Paul too much because he called out my man Floyd Money Mayweather in the boxing world, but that's a whole nother show right there. You know, say like Money Team, you know what it is. You did. Hard work, dedication, all work is easy work. Anyway, we saw a great matchup between Sami Zayn and KO. I thought Sami Zayn should have won. But I understand why KO won after seeing the ending with the interaction between him and Logan Paul, which means they're going to set up something for them. They'll probably face off at SummerSlam. Remember Justin said at first, I enjoy KO every time he steps into the ring. The same thing with Sami Zayn. I know people think Sami Zayn's a jobber. He's not. The boy's good. He's nice. Okay, he's working. All right. If you on TV, you're pushed. If you're always on TV, you're pushed. Even if it's not a main event push, if your ass is on TV, like Nakamura, that's a push. Taz's words, not mine, but I agree with it. We also saw the most racist name in all of matches. It was for the Intercontinental title, where we saw Big E, aka Big E Langston, aka Big E from the New Day. Defend his Intercontinental title against this new persona from Wakanda or Nigeria. I'm a little confused because I know that Oha, aka, if you know your history, you see I'm saying old school names, right? Apollo Crews and his new character in a Nigerian drum match. Vince, really? Bruce Pritchard, really? Brucey Bruce? Really? Michael P.S. Hayes? Really, Paul Heyman? What are we doing here, guys? I know who's in charge back there. Who booked this shit? It was basically a no-holds-barred, anything-goes, hardcore match. There were no drummers playing drumming at all, right? There was no drum line. Nobody going, Anyway, nobody was playing drums. You know, it was a racist name, dope match. We saw the return of Dabba Kato, another fellow African wrestler. Huge motherfucker. Good God. Came out of nowhere, slapped fire and brimstone out of Big E and chokeslammed the shit out of him to where Apollo pinned him and becomes a new Intercontinental Champion. Nice surprise. Great finish. Loved it. We move on to the Raw Women's Championship match between the champ, the Empress of Tomorrow, Asuka from Japan, okay? One of the best wrestlers in the game right now. And she fucking held the title for basically a year after Becky Lynch got pregnant. I can't wait for you to come back, Becky Lynch. We miss you. Even though Sasha and them embarrassed you on night one. Shout out to Sasha and Bianca once again. But we love you, Becky. You're still the best. We saw Rhea Ripley take on the champ, Asuka, for the Raw Women's title, and they burned it down. Their entrances were amazing. Rhea brought out the lady who sings her theme song. I don't remember her name right now. Who cares? It was fire, though. That was a dope performance on her part. Dope performance by both ladies. I was like, oh my God. Wow. So, you know, I thought that they tore it up. They had no choice because they had to do just as good as Sasha and Bianca did in their SmackDown's Women's Championship match from night one. And I thought they executed the best way they could. I watched that match twice as well. And I thought Rhea Ripley coming out on top was the only way to do it. Rhea Ripley's a fucking star, okay? Asuka's a huge star, mega star. She's a legend already. You know what I'm saying? Legend. Okay, she beat Goldberg's record. All right, so she's dope. I thought that match was awesome. The main event. Listen to me. I didn't think they could do it. They still didn't do it, but they got close to Sasha and Bianca for the whole weekend. Very close. Where we saw Roman Reigns defend his Universal title versus the legendary Hall of Famer, returning legend Edge. And Daniel Bryan in the same triple threat match in the main event of night two of WrestleMania. And it was fucking awesome. Their entrances were great. Daniel Bryan coming out, yes, yes, yes. And everyone's in unison, yes, yes. Like the yes movement is just back in full effect because the fans were there. Edge coming out with all of the fireworks and smoke and mirrors. And just, you hear that on this day. I see clearly. Yo, I thought Edge was gonna cry because his eyes look watery in the motherfucker. And he snapped too, man, and just put on a great show. Roman came out with Jey Uso and Paul Heyman in his corner. He had the high chief flowers on his neck. You know, I don't know the proper term for it, but he was representing his Samoan heritage. And I just thought they put on a great triple threat. Motherfuckers went through tables. Everybody was getting a spear from Edge. Everybody got a spear from Roman. Roman and Edge tried to spear each other and clashed. Hit face first. It was awesome. We saw a couple concertos from Edge. We saw Daniel Bryan put motherfuckers in the yes lock while Roman was on in the middle getting in the crossface from Edge at the same time. It was just incredible. The way Roman just looked in that match was just amazing. He looked dominant. He won in a dominant fashion. I thought that they tore the fucking roof off. And I thought they did a great job. I thought WWE did a great job. And this is my longest wrestling show ever because it's WrestleMania, right? WrestleMania was 2 days. It was a week long of wrestling. On the independents and every other major company got to eat, and I thought it was beautiful. And in the words of Jim Ross, it is a great time to be a wrestling fan. If you are not watching Monday Night Raw tonight, the night after WrestleMania, because this is now a new season. Because if you know wrestling, you know that WrestleMania ends the season and a new season begins tonight. I'm excited for the surprises. Listen, I want you guys to know from the bottom of my heart, I am okay. If you know me, you know what I mean. I'm still here. I'm alive. I'm breathing. This has been an episode of Just a Kid from Brooklyn. Brooklyn in the building. East New York. This is your WrestleMania week and weekend episode. Please enjoy, like, share, subscribe, rate this show on Apple. Make sure you, if you can, review it and rate it on Spotify, Google, Anchor, which powers this show, on Pocket Cast, on Bullhorn, and every other indie outlet that streams this show. I love you guys. I hope to see you hopefully at my shows this week. Better Not Bring Your Kids is this Wednesday, okay, at Broadway at 8 p.m. There are two tickets left. Make sure you go on Eventbrite, type in Better Not Bring Your Kids, get your $20 ticket. It's always a two-drink minimum. And if you somehow get the information that I don't have for my 420 show that I'm doing with Marlon Randolph and Janae Boston and my good sister JJ, that I'm doing this Saturday at 7 p.m. at a secret location, hit me up. Make sure you follow me. Keep supporting this show, Just a Kid from Brooklyn. East New York's number one. No one works harder than us. The only leader of stand-up is Justin Ramos. And keep following your boy, Justin the Comic. If you want to play me on Xbox, Justin the Comic. Peace out.
Yes, sir.